All right, let's bow our heads and we'll pray over the preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we ask that you would bless, touch this preaching moment. God, hide me beneath the cross, God. Let it be all of you, less of me. Let the people be touched and blessed, God. Exalt the word so that it resonates in the hearts of your people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read something we touched on last week. I'm going to start there and then we'll show you where we're headed. So Proverbs 18:10 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I was using that for my running to point, to the point that we need to run to God. But here's the thing about running, especially when you're in trouble, is you have to know you are in trouble in order to run. But when you are blindsided or sucker punched, you often don't know what danger is around. It's funny, comedians have said it, and I would have to agree. If you had a horror film that was only black folk, it wouldn't last very long. Because when one of us run, we all run it. I don't know what we're running for, but we're running. I'm not looking and I'm not trying to figure out. If I hear a sound, the credits is going to roll because I'm out. I'm running. I'm gone. But when you don't know what you're facing, you don't know when to run. And so the devil becomes sneaky, and that's why he tries to throw things at us, to throw us off. Have you ever been hit with something that you never saw coming? There's one thing, I saw that coming, but there's some stuff I never saw coming. Let me put it to you this way. Some folk that hurt you, you never saw it coming. I didn't think you would do it. I know other folk would, but not you. I didn't see that. That's how the devil moves, because he wants to bring you to your knees. And so when you are in a situation where you are plunged into trouble and you didn't even know it, you didn't even see it, it's like walking on a trap door and the bottom fell out from under you. There are women that just have been singing the praises of their husband for the last 15 years, so they found out he's been cheating on them for the 17 of the 15 years. The math don't even math, and it rocks their whole world. Some news that you get, my mother used to say, some news that you get will send you straight to bed. You can't do nothing. You can't pray. You can't cry. It'll put you down, like put you in the fetal position, balled up in the corner. There are some things in life that hit you so hard, you don't know what to do. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? And here's the title for today. It is simply this. It is rescued. Thank God for a God that is watching what I can't watch. Thank God for a God that sees what I can't see. Because when I get in a situation that the devil has planned for me and it catches me by surprise, it didn't catch God by surprise. So just like the lifeguard at the pool sits and watches and waits for somebody to go under so that they can move into action, I serve a God that knows how to rescue. I know you didn't know it was going to happen, but God knows how to rescue. And here it is rescued, meaning past tense. I'm here to talk to some people that know I should have been gone, but God stepped in. I should have lost my mind, but God made a way. My marriage should have been over, but God turned it around. I've been rescued because I serve a God that sits high and looks low, and he watches over his people. The old saints would say, danger seen and unseen. So we're going to talk about rescued. And before I go into my scriptures, I just want to use that analogy one more time. There's a story, and I'm not for sure if the story is fictional or if it's real, but there's a story of a young man who happened to be swimming out in the ocean, and the current caught him by surprise. Go ahead and flash this up on the screen, Brother Dylan. And then let me go back to my story. You can take it off. So the current caught him, and before he knew it, he was no longer swimming. He's now fighting for his life. The lifeguard being on point and on duty and seeing what's going on, the lifeguard races to save him, and he does save him and pulls him from the ocean, and his life is saved. When they asked the young man about it, what he said was this: I couldn't reach him, but he reached for me. I hope you catch the revelation. When you don't know you're in a battle, you don't know where to reach, you don't know when to reach, you don't know how to reach, you don't know where to turn, you don't know when to turn, you don't know how to turn, but thank God for a God that will reach for me when I can't reach for him. When I couldn't get to him, he got to me. On last week, the last point was running to, how we need to run to God. But let me tell you, there's times in your life where you can't run to him, but he'll run to you. His arms are so long, he can save you even when you're going under, even when the devil has planted a long time. Now, look, let me, this is not in my notes, but let me just go ahead and explain this. When you look at demons and devils, they are not omnipotent like God. They're not omnipowerful like God, which is what omnipotent meant. They're not omnipresent like God. They can't be everywhere at the same time. So they have to work through a lot of plans. They have to be strategic to attack. But one thing about demons is they are not eternal, but they've been here for a long time. So just because you're only 40 years old doesn't mean that's when the demon started planning for you. He started planning to take you out long before that. Do you know that there are some things, traps for your family, that's been set for 250 years? That the story that I just told you about the young man, God, Satan was planning on taking him out in some road rage. I don't know how long demons had planned that, but unfortunately, he stepped in Deliverance Temple and he got rescued and didn't even know he was in trouble. And that's why the devil don't like you, because you are surviving plans that he's got to go back to the drawing board. I thought I had Jasmine down for the count. She should have been over. She should have been done with. But somehow she's still here. She's still surviving. And it bothers me. And I got to regroup. But guess what? He's coming back again. The devil, that's all he's got. All he's got is time. And the scripture says is to wear out the patience of the saints. But thank God that I don't have to fight every battle. Sometimes God will just snatch me out of some stuff. He'll just reach down and rescue me. When I can't reach him, he reaches for me. All right. We're moving into December. Last month of the year. There's 12 months. So for that reason, we're going to do this. Go ahead and flash it up on the screen for me. We're just going to give you 12 facts about God's rescue from Psalms 18. So let me say this. I shared with you already that I worked last night and I'm operating off of 2 hours of sleep, but I don't feel like I'm operating off of 2 hours of sleep. So how this is going to work is if y'all work with me, we're going to get through these 12. We're going to move. If y'all don't, we're going to treat this like Bible study. So the quieter y'all are, the longer I'm going to talk. But if y'all get with me, we're going to roll. So somebody say, let's roll, Pastor. Let's roll. Let's go to the first one. Here's the first one I need you to understand about, and all these are about God's rescue particularly. And we're going to use just one chapter, Psalms 18. And we're not going to use all the verses. So if you want to read it throughout this week, you can. But there's safety in his rescue. In other words, the reason why he rescues is to point to the devil. When the devil says, I got him, I got her, it's God stepping in and saying, no, you don't, not too fast, because I'm bringing safety to the situation. All right, let's look at Psalms 18, verse 1. Read this.
I love you, Lord. You are my strength.
Let's start right there so we can be on the same page. The people who get rescued the most are the folk who are loving him and walking with him. So if you're going to play games on God, this message is not for you. You don't need to be rescued. You got to start with the understanding it's time for me to respond to his love for me. I'm trying to love the Lord the way he loved me. Now, I can never love him the way he loves me because his love is so innumerable, but I'm going to do my darndest to love him back because he first loved me. Look at verse 2.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety.
My place of safety. My bank account's not my place of safety. My family is not my place of safety. My marriage is not my place of safety. General Motors is not my place of safety. My Cadillac is not my place of safety. Netflix and chill is not my place of safety. But God is my place of safety. That's why even though I love you, I walk away from you to get a hold of him, because my safety is in God. All right, verse 3, read this.
I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies.
He did what?
Saved me.
That's why we like the song, I sought the Lord, and he heard. Because when I called him, he showed up and answered. Now, Lady Devon, she loves me real, real, real good. But sometimes I irritate her because when she calls my phone, I don't answer. And I be trying to tell her it didn't ring. She's like, yeah, you can answer the phone with everybody else, but can't answer the phone for me. And I'm like, baby, I promise I ain't trying to do you wrong. But in other words, she's bothered the fact that she calls and I don't respond. But God is not like that. God will answer your call when you need to be rescued. All right, let's go on to number 2. Here's number 2. Y'all did pretty good with 1. I talked a little long, but I see y'all want to get up on out of here. So number 2, distress is no match. It's no match for his rescue. Come on, let's look at Psalms 18 and 6.
But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears.
It reached his ears. And even though I was in distress, he's not in distress. Even though I was overwhelmed, he's not overwhelmed. Even though I was confused, he's not confused. And so in the middle of my distress, I called out to him. And guess what? God made a way. All right. Let's look at number 3, moving right along. So power is displayed. He moves, but then he moves and displays his power. Go ahead and look at verse 7, Psalms 18.
Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of the mountains shook. They quaked because of his anger.
Hold on. We don't see any sin here. So the only reason God was angry is because somebody was messing with his kids. And here's the thing, his kids called out to their father. Let me talk to you mothers for a second. I know y'all mothers, y'all saved, you sanctified, you filled with the Holy Ghost. But if your child cries out to you and tells you that somebody is bothering them, some of y'all will lose your religion for just a half a second and will go clean off, because ain't nobody messing with my babies. Well, if you can stand up for your babies, what do you think that God will stand up? Why do you think God won't stand up for his babies? All you got to do is call out to him. You don't need a long prayer. You don't need all 66 books, but sometimes just say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, make a way. Jesus, come through. Jesus, fix it. And he will hear and he'll show up with some power. Let's look at verses 8 and 9.
Smoke poured from his nostrils. Fierce flames leaped from his mouth. Glowing coals blazed forth from him.
Now, I don't know if any of y'all who've been saved all your life, I know y'all so holy, but I struggled with my temper. And when I struggle with my temper, I can feel my whole blood pressure rising. My nostrils start flaring. I sweat start beating up on my head because I done got ticked off. But here's what the scripture is saying is there's no reason why my child should be this stressed out. And my child has called for me. So the scripture says he shows up from his sanctuary. He hears and then his nostril begins to flare. Who is messing with my children? Who has enough gall to step in the face of the child that I have called? I called them great and now they're saying I'm nothing. Who told them they were nothing? God showing up, and he's showing up with some power. All right, look at verse 9.
He opened the heavens and came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet.
David is writing, he says, and he's writing poetically. He opened up the heavens. He ripped back the clouds and stepping down. Have you ever been bothered because somebody interrupted your rest that shouldn't have been interrupting your rest? In other words, if I have to get up, there's going to be Hades to pay if I got to get up. Now, my dog, I've tried to, and I'm so glad he caught the revelation. I tried to get him to understand I'm on midnight shift, so you're going to have to be on midnight shift. Meaning when I come home and sleep, you gonna have to sleep because you can't be barking while I'm trying to sleep. But he didn't always get the revelation. So every now and then I'm finally drift off to sleep. And here we go. Make it. He start off with the barking, then he start that whining. But if I got to get up and come all the way down to deal with you, you're going to realize, you're not going to wake me up and interrupt my rest with your foolishness. And this is what God is saying to the devil. I hear my children calling for me. Who's bothering my kids? Who's making me have to rip back the heavens and step all the way down into Muncie, Indiana and say, who is bothering Keisha? Who is bothering Joyce? Who is bothering Kay? Who is messing with Tris? I ain't playing no games. I'm coming with some power beneath his feet. Let's go on to number 4. Theatrics shown. Let me see if I can explain this. Back in the day, working for the union, when you would call the union steward or the committeemen that we call them because the boss has done something wrong, they would go and they would show up with some theatrics. In other words, they come in slamming doors, cussing folk out. It made you feel like they was on your side. Now, they may not have really been doing nothing for you, but the theatrics at least made you feel like they on my side. But then over years, some new union folks show up, and they go in there drinking coffee with the person that you supposed to be calling the man over, and now you and the boss are drinking coffee. I have no trust that you're really fighting for me because there's no theatrics. At least act a fool if you're not going to do nothing. I need you to at least act like you're going to do something. Now, some of y'all don't know this, but I would do that because I'm not the biggest person in the world. I'm short. So sometimes I had to act crazy to keep myself from getting into the fight. In college, I'll blow your head off. I ain't never shot a gun in my life, but I had to talk crazy just so I didn't have to fight. So not only does God show up with power, but he'll show up with some theatrics too. He'll act a fool for his kids. He'll make it look rough for his kids. All you got to do is cry out to him. All right, I've made my point. We can go on. Let's look at Psalms 18, verse 13. Says what?
The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded amid the hail and burning coals.
Okay, hold on. He done ripped the heavens back, getting ready to step through, but he starts thundering with his voice, "Who's messing with my children?" I mean, hold up. I done got a little nervous. I done picked the fight with the wrong one. And the scripture says hails and burning coals. And of course, this is metaphorically, but I need you to understand in the spirit realm, there are demons that are afraid of you because how your daddy act whenever you call on him, whenever you dial 911 and call on your God begins to act up. That's why demons get the straight around you. Sometimes you have people around you that don't have no problem with you, and they start getting away from you, and you don't understand why. Because God done acted such a fool, every demon is scared, every demon is nervous. Even the folk that used to like you, they getting away from you, they moving around because God is showing up with some theatrics. Let's read some more, verse 14 and 15.
He shot his arrows and scattered his enemies. Great bolts of lightning flashed, and they were confused.
We always were taught if you did wrong and come into church that God was going to hit his children with bolts of lightning. But the scripture don't say that. The scripture said he's hitting the folk messing with his children with bolts of lightning. Keep on going. Verse 15.
Then at your command, O Lord, at the blast of your breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the foundations of the earth were laid bare.
I love the poetic nature that David is talking about. He's saying with one blow, the whole ocean goes all the way down to the bottom, all the way down to the ground. God can blow any situation right out of your face. Here's something you've got to understand. Sometimes he only leaves a situation if it's going to benefit you, if it's going to grow you and stretch you. He'll leave it there. But if you think God gonna watch you go under and not step in on your behalf, one snap of his finger, one blow of his breath, one wink in a direction can shift a whole thing. All you got to do is, like the old folks used to say, hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. All you got to do is know who you need to be with when trouble breaks off. Now y'all getting with me, but I still got to go ahead and add just a little extra here. Some of y'all who didn't fight, if I'm going to go to the club, let me at least go with somebody. If something pop off, I know I'm with the right one. I can't fight a lick, but let me be with somebody that'll throw a heel in a heartbeat just in case. I need to make sure I can't be with the weak folk, the nerdy folk. I got to be with the down folk, the ride or die folk, the people that I need to be around with the right folk. Let me tell you something. If you got God, you got the right one, baby. You got the right one on your side, in your corner, on your team. And as long as you got King Jesus, I don't care what demon, devil in hell, I don't care who lied on you, I don't care who talked about you, I don't care who don't like you, as long as God's got your back, you're going to be all right. All right. Now look at this. Number five, not only is the theatrics shown, but support is given. He ain't just showing up just to play around, but read what it says from that next.
He reached down from heaven and rescued me.
Yes, he did.
He drew me out of deep water.
Uh-huh. Next verse, verse 17.
He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me.
Oh, hold on. There are some stuff that's too strong for you. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Some words hurt. Some words crush. Some words will have you crying yourself to sleep. But all I need you to understand is when you're in the deepest of waters, that's not the time that God's backing away from you. That's the time God's showing up for you. And the scripture says he rescued me from deep waters when stuff was too strong for me. Because like I said before, sometimes it's the people that it comes through that hurts you the most. Sometimes the folk who celebrate you is the folk you really don't know. But your family. Now, you got 300 loves on Facebook and one like, and it's your family. I mean, like, man, everybody else is loving it, but sometimes, and that kind of stuff hurts over a course of time. It hurts let me put it to you this way. It hurts when you expect you from everybody else. When you assume everybody going to function like you function, they going to give like you give, they going to move like you move. When you borrowed, you paid it back with interest. When they borrow, they act like they don't know your number. That kind of stuff hurts, and sometimes it's too strong for you. And God said, don't worry about it. I'm just going to rescue you. I'm going to pull you out. Have you ever had something that was bothering you one day, and then one day you wake up, and it don't bother you no more? I'm so bothered by Sister Jossie. I can't see her. When I see her, it does something to my spirit because she done me so wrong. But one day I can look at her and it don't bother me. That's because God just done rescue you. And what he's done, he's put you on another level, and people on levels beneath you, it just don't irritate you no more because you realize that chickens can't hang with eagles. I'm trying, Sister Jasmine. I'm trying. Look at verse 18.
They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me.
They sucker punched me. I didn't see it coming. I didn't expect it, but God supported me. I thought I was going to go under, but God called me. I thought it was over, but God picked me up. I thought I was failing, but God turned it around. He supported me, and he lifted me up. All right, verse 19.
He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me.
Hold on. The scripture tells us to delight in the Lord. But David said, my God likes me. I don't know about you, but my God likes me. He loves me, and he likes me. I can no longer apologize for my blessing. All I can say is my God delights in me. So next time you see me on vacation, don't get jealous. God delights in me. Next time I get a bonus and a promotion, don't get mad. My God delights in me. I can't explain why he don't delight in you. All I know is God favors me. All I know is God blesses me. All I know is God touches me. I know that God is on my side. Delights in me. Let's look at number 6. We are at the halfway point. So reward is a reason. Sometimes God rescues you just to reward you. Let me explain this to you. In our life, we go through challenges. And like I said, many times those challenges are there to stretch us so that he can bless us. So just like Job, sometimes he even invites the devil on your territory because he's trying to take you to another level. But in the story of Jehoshaphat, God told Jehoshaphat, he said, you're not even going to have to fight in this battle. There are some battles, God said, Tyrene ain't going through it this time. I'm going to rescue her as a reward. In other words, you fix in your mind, how am I going to pray my way through this? How am I going to fast my way through this? And next thing you know, it's over. God just snapped his finger, because sometimes he rescues you based on, I just want to reward them. In other words, Joyce, I ain't got time for Joyce being stressed out about this. I'm just going to snatch it up. Just going to fix it. I had a situation on my job, and there was somebody getting on my nerves, and so I was praying about it. I'm thinking, you know, I need to make sure I'm living my vision every day. So I'm making up in my mind, I'm going to go out of my way to be nice to somebody that's kind of getting up under my skin. I made up my mind, this is what I'm going to do. I got there that day, and I found out, they said, oh, he got bumped last week. He's not even here no more. I didn't even have to have the fruit of kindness. I didn't even have to smile and fake the funk. I was trying to do the right thing, and God just moved him right off the way. God will reward you with a rescue. Let's look at verse 24. Read that.
The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He has seen my innocence.
Oh, sometimes, I know we done made some mistakes, but sometimes we innocent. You can't put all this on me. I didn't do all of that that you saying I did. And the only person that knows how innocent I am is God. And so sometimes God says, I won't even make you chase the lie down. I'm going to snatch you right up out the situation. Reminds me of something that happened to my father. There was a lady that he had dealt with for years. She had demonic issues, and he went out of his way to bless her and help her and did all kinds of things for her. But one day in her demonic fit, she goes to McDonald's, and she told the men at McDonald's that Bishop Mitchell had raped her. And the folk looked at her and said, no, he didn't. In other words, Royce ain't even going to have to fight this. Folk look and say, no, the devil is a liar. I know that temptation come, but he ain't tempted by you. Cut that out. Stop it. And then guess what she said? She said, well, he raped me with his eyes. Really? See, here's the thing. Some stuff, when the devil is planning a lie to take you out, the folk won't even believe it. Now, here's the thing about unsaved folk. They love to believe dirt about a preacher, but in this case, God just rescued him. They said, I don't believe it. Go on about your business. You crazy. You done lost your mind. And some folk are trying to lie about Deliverance Temple, and folk in the street, a wino, will sober up. What you say? That ain't them. I know better than that. I'll sober up to speak right on their behalf. Because when God wants to reward you, some stuff you ain't even got to fight. Just like the walls of Jericho, you won't need a sword. You won't need a bullet. You won't need a gun. Just walk around and praise the Lord, and walls will fall down. All right. Number seven, let's turn the corner. Here, humility is needed, though. You can't, just because God's on your side, you can't get the big head. So humility is needed so that rescue can happen. What they say about true rescue, especially as lifeguards, what hurts them the most is when they try to get them is the people fight them back. And so here's the thing. You've got to humble yourself under God so that he can rescue you. Because here's what happens sometimes when God gets ready to rescue you. He don't always do it on your timing. And so sometimes God does want you to humble yourself. Let's look at verse 27.
You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud.
Oh, so there's only two options. There's only humility or humiliation. So which side do you want to be on? And here's the thing. If you've ever had God rescue you, it makes you humble. I ain't even trying to worry about a bunch of stuff. I'm humble because here's the thing. Yes, folk have lied on me, but they also didn't find out the truth. See, I had somebody lie on me so bad, but I said to myself, I could have told them the truth. The truth would have been a much juicier tale than the lie that they told. So I'm humble that God has protected me. I'm humble that God has called me to pastor, because God could have kicked me out a long time ago. So I make sure I remain humble. Don't get so blessed you lose your humility, because if it wasn't for the hand of the Lord, I wouldn't be rescued. If it wasn't for God turning me around, I wouldn't be here. I'd be lost in my sauce. I'd be sleeping in a devil's grave. But God has made the difference, so I am humble. I'm humble. I hate doing this because I don't know all the details, but there's a new Netflix documentary about Puff Daddy, and if you watch it, you can believe what you want. But one thing that I didn't notice, at some point, he lost his humility. And when you get caught up in ego, and that's the problem with money, because sometimes money brings you power, and then you lose your humility. If you are going to be blessed with wealth and you lose your humility, it's not worth it. It'll take you on a trip you don't want to go. You'll do stuff that you didn't ever think you'll do. You got to remain humble. God, I want the blessing, but if it's going to cost me my humility, I really don't need it. If I can see you and step on you and it don't bother me, I don't really need it. I don't need a promotion if it's going to make me act totally different. Back in the day on my job, I remember somebody that worked right next to us, and then he got into management. And the very next week, he was an entirely, total different person. Like, quit playing, dog. Break was 30 minutes. It was true, break was 30 minutes, but we would work up a little bit, and we would take a 45-minute break. We've been doing it, and he was doing it. The next week, he come in there, break is over. Wait a second, you was just with us 2-3 days ago, but you done got one promotion. You done got all big and bad. Don't let God have to lower you, because the moment he rescues you, you get the big head. God didn't rescue you for you. He rescued you for his own name's sake. All right, let's look at number 8. Protection is offered in the rescue. Psalms 18 and 30, read that.
God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true.
Hold on. I know you're waiting on his promises, but all of his promises, that end up proving true. Read.
He is a shield from all who look to him for protection.
He's a shield. In other words, this is the point that I'm making, is that it's not just a one-time rescue. Here's an example or a metaphor that will help you understand. When you have an American U.S. president, when they are no longer in office, they still have Secret Service detail because of the position that they once held. So the protection goes even beyond the position. I need you to understand that when God rescues you, he leaves you a Secret Service security detail to make sure you're going to be okay. And if I had to say it what is it? Is it the CIA? Is it the FBI? Is it the paramilitary? Is it the Marines? Is it the Air Force? No. David said it in Psalm 23. It's surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk around, when I get up out to bed, I don't wake up by myself. Goodness gets up and mercy gets up. And the scripture says it follows me all the days of my life. So God offers a eternal protection just because he rescued you. Now think about how mad that makes the devil. The devil is trying to trap you up, Tris, to cause you to drown in your sorrows and never rebound again. God snatched you up. Now every time Satan tried to mess with Tris, he got to deal with Tris, goodness, and mercy. He can't just mess with her, because every time you go down, you come back up better than what you went down. Because that's the whole idea of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. I'll go down one way, but I'll rise another way. I need you to understand 2026 might be your year to rise up and shine like a diamond. It might be your year for things just to work in your favor, because God has a protection detail that he's assigning to your life. Yeah. Protect me from stuff breaking down. You know that air conditioning in your house is so old, it should have died a long time ago. But God said, I don't want you buying no new air conditioning. I'm going to have an angel just every time it mess up, just tap it and let it keep on running. Some of your cars, it should have broke down a long time ago, but God just been standing, giving you protection, because he's just a good God to his children. All right, let's keep on going. Number 9. Stability is secure, not just the protection, but there is a stability there. Read.
He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights.
He makes me sure-footed. And what he does, he keeps on raising me higher and higher. And people are wondering, how are you so high? What is going on in your life? God is just stabilizing you. Tell you something, I maybe only said it once in my life, and I can't remember if I said it openly in the pulpit or if I said it to someone privately, but when Bishop Mitchell was in the hospital and he was fighting for his life, I had a friend call me. They didn't know anything about it or what was going on. They were calling me for prayer about the situation that they were dealing with. And so after I got done praying for them, they asked me, is there anything I can pray for? And I was like, yes, my father's in the hospital, and I explained what was going on. And they said, I want to share this prophetically with you. They was like, I don't know what's going to happen with your father, but I just seen a vision of you. And I just stopped. I'm on my job, so I pull over to listen to what they're talking about, because I thought they were going to give me steps on how to miraculously cause my father to come out of the situation he was in. They said, I see you, Andre. I see you walking the top of a mountain. And when you get to the top of the mountain, there's a cliff, and you're walking, but when you're supposed to fall off the cliff, you just keep on walking. And she said, people are going to be looking at you, expecting and waiting for you to fall, but you're going to keep on walking, and they're not going to know how you're walking. I didn't understand the vision then, didn't even know what was going on. I didn't solicit this. They called me for prayer. They're not even a minister, a pastor, but God gave them a prophetic word. But you do remember that not just did he pass away, but we had a rash of deaths. And I was preaching funerals. I should have lost my mind. And when I should have fell off the cliff, I'm still walking. I'm still stepping. Somehow things are getting better. Somehow my money is better. Somehow I bought a brand new Cadillac, and I had never bought a brand new Cadillac in my life. Somehow things should have folded. Somehow we should have lost our mind. But God will stabilize you when it looks like you're going to fall. People will sit back and look. They're waiting for you to drop. They're waiting for you to go off the edge. They're waiting for you to lose your mind. But we're still walking. I just feel like testifying. Sister Jasmine, when your brother got locked up, you should have lost your mind. When they unfairly gave him 26 years, you should have lost your mind. But just every now and then, God will show, I'm bigger than the judge. I'm bigger than the lawyers. I'm bigger than the courtroom. And devil, you thought she was going to fall. You thought he was going to fall. But when I'm up under their feet, I'm going to keep them stepping. I'm going to keep them stepping. I'm stepping. I'm watching. I'm marching left, right, left. I'm stepping because God has stabilized me. And some of y'all, you shouldn't be as smart as you are. You shouldn't be as emotionally intact as you are. You shouldn't be as spiritual as you are. But when you was ready to fall, God would just stabilize you. He just put his hand right up under your feet. Just like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat and he stepped on water, he was supposed to go down. But because Jesus had his word out there, Peter was stepping on the word of God. And some of y'all, you're walking on the word of God. And if God says you're healed, I don't care what Ball Memorial IU Health says. If God says you're healed, you're healed. Just keep on stepping. Just keep on walking. Just keep on believing. I know your bank account says you're broke, but if God says you're prosperous, just keep on walking. Keep on giving. Keep on believing, because he'll stabilize you. And he'll do it so folk will know this has to be the hand of the Lord. Verse 36.
You have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping.
I did this before. I'm not really going to do it again. But one Sunday, I stepped up on this to make a point. And when I got up here, I realized how thin this was. Once I got done making a point, I got myself down off of here. And so let me do it again. Oh, Lord. Look how rough that is. But this is wide. You see, the moment I did that, y'all got to praying, because I don't know, we about to go viral because he about to fall over. And the reason why is because it's so thin. You can't step on it. But God said, I'm making your pathway wide. I can't even mess up if I try. It's so wide. See, when you first get in God, you got to walk a tightrope. Oh, but God said, I'm about to widen things. Every time you step, it's just going to be right. You're going to accidentally do stuff right. It's just going to work out because God has widened your path to give you the stability that you need. And to turn around and laugh at the devil, you thought he was going to fall. You thought she was going to fall. But I stretched the pathway. They're not falling this time. Think again. All right. Come on, 10. Strength is shared. This is important. Psalms 18:39 says what?
You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet.
Not only does he widen your path, he puts your enemies under your feet. That's how he widens your path, because you're actually now stepping on your enemies. But here's the thing, when we look at the first part of the story, the first part of the chapter, David's writing that he's crying out because of his enemies. But let's put the scripture back up and just read the first part of verse 39. I'll tell you when to stop.
You have armed me with strength.
You've armed me with strength. The reason why David was crying out, because he didn't have no strength. But here's what the scripture says. Not only am I going to rescue you with my strength, but I'm going to share my strength with you so you don't have to fall in this again. Sometimes people think your last fall was going to take you out, but it was your last fall to strengthen you to never fall again. Verse 40, read.
You placed my foot on their necks. I have destroyed all who hated me.
Yeah, you thought when you did it to George Floyd, you thought that's what it was supposed to be. No, it's the other way around, devil. You got to be under my foot. My foot going to be on your neck. I'm not scared of you. I'm not worried about you. My path is so wide, I'm not going to misstep. And the only good step I'm going to step is right on your neck, right on your head. The devil is a liar. Yeah. Right on your head, Satan. Your debt won't get me down. Your divorce won't get me down. Depression won't get me down. Anxiety not going to take me out. Addiction's not going to take me out. Lies won't take me out. I'm putting my foot on your neck. I will not be down another day. I will not go backwards. I will not backslide. I will not lose. I'm not going broke. I'm not going bankrupt. I'm going to the top because God's got my back. Oh, yes. It says, I have destroyed all who hated me. Number 11, remind me of an old song. Victory is mine. Yeah, victory is mine. All right. What did the song say? It says, I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory in 2028 is mine. No. It says victory today is mine. It don't have to look like victory for me to know I'm in victory. It don't have to turn overnight for me to know I'm in victory. I know victory belongs to me because the God that rescued me and gave me strength, he already whispered in my ear, you're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. It's all right. You're going to win. You're going to win. I just hear God whispering that in the midnight hour. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. All right. Psalms 18:43.
You gave me victory over my accusers. You appointed me ruler over nations. People I don't even know now serve me.
That's why some of y'all are bumping into new folk and new relationships, because God has raised you up another level. There's got to be some new folk in your circle, and folk just like you and don't even know why they like you. They just around because God has just elevated you and he's given you victory in this season. I need you to believe for victory. Yes, your name was in the paper, but there is a heavenly paper, and under your name it says V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory belongs to you. So go ahead and act like it. Act victorious. Go ahead and act like it. See, here's the thing. When sports teams know they're getting ready to win, the coach is still coaching. The players get back there and they're filling up the Gatorade bucket. They're getting ready to dump it on the coach because they know we about to win. So guess what I'm doing? What I'm telling you to do is go ahead and fill up your buckets. Go ahead and fill the Gatorade up.
Go ahead and start the party. Go ahead and get the celebration ready, because I'm looking and the clock is ticking and they don't have enough time to come back. I'm going to be everything God said I was. I'm going to be everything God called me to be. I'm ready to party. I'm ready to celebrate. That's why I've been telling y'all I want to fellowship with the people, because I believe we're preparing for some victory celebration. Look at your neighbor, say victory lap, victory lap. Woo! It's a victory lap.
Yo, I'm going to win. Now, this is totally off the subject, but normally, if you're a sports fan, normally you don't have a lot to root for in Indiana. But in the last several months, going back to last year, the Pacers went all the way to the finals. The Colts started the year off fast. IU, who has lost the second most college football games of any college that's on the college teams. Now they won a bunch last year, and now they're the Big Ten champions. Something's happening in Indiana, and you're right in the middle of it. And sometimes what happens in the world is just a symbol of what God is going to do for you. I need to let somebody know there's more than corn in Indiana. There are some kings and queens in Deliverance Temple that God's about to put on display and cause them to shine. There's some victory coming. Now, here's the thing about the sports world. Notre Dame was in the championship last year. Here's the thing about the sports world in Indiana. We get the almost. We almost did it. Notre Dame almost got the championship. The Pacers almost. Almost, almost, almost. But let me tell you something. This is not an almost season for you at Deliverance Temple. This is a foregone conclusion. Victory belongs to you. And everything that the devil tried to do, it just is not going to be able to work, because God has said this is their time. This is their moment. This is their season. So you might as well act like you got the victory. And don't come in here waiting for somebody to beg you to praise. Start praising when you hit the parking lot, because you know victory is here. All right, here he is, number 12. Number 12. Payback is coming. Victory is already yours, but payback is coming. Look at Psalms 18, 46 to 48.
The Lord lives. Praise to my rock.
Now, rock.
May the God of my salvation be exalted.
May the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord reigneth, and blessed be the rock. Remember, we used to sing that song, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It comes from this verse, but salvation also means deliverance. Let the deliverance that's in Deliverance Temple, let the God, let him be exalted. So this is what we're doing. Since we already know victory is ours, we go ahead and exalt the God right now. All right? Read verse 7.
He is the Lord. He is the God who pays back those who harm me. He subdues the nations under me.
Now, here's the thing. You don't have to pay back. The reason why you don't have to pay back is, in order to pay back, you got to turn around and go in the wrong direction. So this is what God does. God says, you keep going straight, I'm about to walk right by you. Because I got some payback. And see, that's what the scripture says. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There's some folk that had no business touching you. They had no business talking about you. They had no business lying on you. And God is about to show them that they messed with the wrong one. And let me tell you something. This has happened in my life. I've had to pray to God and say, God, leave them alone. I mean, they life start going down so fast. I'm praying for them to help them out. Some folk that was trying to hurt you and harm you, they gonna wish you could pray for them. Because when God gets on his payback journey and his payback trail, it's going to be, let me say it again, the best way I can say it, it's going to be Hades to pay for everybody that messed with the wrong one. Payback is coming. Now let me add this to that. That's why you got to be careful who you mess with. Because you might get caught up in the payback. I'm talking about Deliverance Simple this, Deliverance Simple that. You might be one of the ones in Deliverance Simple that's going to end up going through because you put your mouth on the wrong one at the wrong time. If you need to repent, you better tell God, I'm sorry, because payback is coming. Now, here's the truth of the matter. All God really wants to do is pay back the demons. But some people won't let go of the demons. So when he pay back the demons, they got to get paid back too. Sometimes the wrong person does the wrong thing. Now, I don't totally want to make this connection, but I will. This person that I talked about that said that my father raped him, maybe a month or two or a couple of years later, came back to church. And we had a prophet named Ed. And Prophet Ed said, there's somebody who's been messing with the man of God at this church. And if you don't stop it, it's going to be trouble. I'm paraphrasing. It basically said something like that. 2 weeks later, that person's daughter was dead, just like that. Next thing you know, that person ended up fading off the scene. Don't mess with the wrong one at the wrong time. Because there's a season you step into. What happens? God, it's not so much God getting people. It's what he does. He removes his hand. And when God removes his hand, he can't help what happens. So be careful who you mess with. So all you really got to do is live your vision every day. That don't mean we always get it right. But if you mess up, repent and start loving on folk because this is the wrong time because payback is coming. Woo. Yes, sir. All right, last verse. Read that.
And rescues me from my enemies. You hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies. You save me from violent opponents.
The violence that's around, it will not touch you because God has got you covered. All right, we're going to make a conclusion by just making two takeaway points. We're done with scripture. We went through all 12. Thanks for helping me preach. Here's the conclusion. Takeaway number one, God's rescue will make the enemy wish he never tried you. I mean, going to make the enemy wish he never tried you. Now I'm going to be a little comical. Some of y'all, you're going to catch it. I'm just going to say it real quick. Go ahead, put this next one up. I wish a devil would. I wish a devil would. I know who I am. I wish a raggedy, slew-footed, snaggle-tooth, boogerilla monster devil would try to mess with me in this season because I know who I am. And I know who's on my side. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's do this confession together. We go from the confession, we're going to go right into the communion. So here's our confession. Say, Father God, I thank you for your desire to rescue me. And I won't sweat the small stuff because you got it. And you got me. You got it. And you got me. One final time. You got it. And you got me. If you believe it, go ahead and praise the Lord this morning. All right, all right. Here's our communion. Do this in remembrance. Let's go to our scripture. Taken from Matthew 26, verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Let's eat. Here's the thing. God didn't step down to rescue Jesus so he could rescue us. He left his son on the cross to suffer so that he could rescue us. And so we are reminded of his sacrifice. Then you move on. It says, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's drink.
Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, we are reminded when we take of your body and we drink of your blood, which is for the forgiveness of sins, we are reminded that the only way you can rescue us is for us to believe in you. And the biggest rescue you ever did is when you rescued us from the penalty of our sins. And so we thank you. And we thank you that you've forgiven us. And so we align ourselves with you so we can see you work in our lives. And we can boldly say it was the Lord that made all the difference. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and let everybody say amen. God bless you. Have a great and a wonderful, marvelous week. We love you.